Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by WitchSchool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Hello, everyone. This is Samara Luna, and Ravenfire will not be on tonight. She had to work again. So this is the Tree of Life Hour. The Tree of Life Hour is brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people in the Louisville, Kentucky area. They're trying to create space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies, and our show is all about the pagan community, things we think the pagan community should know or be discussing. And tonight's show, I actually have a guest. She is running a little bit late. She's trying to find a quiet place to call in. But Priestess, I believe I'm saying this right, I might be saying it wrong, Kiete, from the Four Rivers of Eden Goddess Temple will be on to discuss Manifest Inara. I might be saying that wrong, too. It's I-N-E-R-R-A. But she is looking for a place to call in. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play a song to give her a little bit of leeway as soon as I find a song to play. While I'm looking for a song real quick, I just want to say if everyone can send out some positive healing energy to Florida for the shooting that happened yesterday, the high school shooting, and just kind of send some healing energy generically that way, that they could really use it down there. So I'm going to play a song. I'm not really sure. I don't know if I've ever played her or not, or this group. I don't know if it's a group or a person. But it's called Cheshire Moon. And I'm going to play a song called Yoga Goddess. So let's see what this is. And hopefully when this is over, she will be with us. Music break, and Priestess Kiete is here with me. Say hello.
Hi.
Okay. So before we jump into the Manifestinara, and how do you say that? I know I'm saying it wrong.
Manifestinara.
Anara. Okay. Sorry, I was saying Anara, so it's Anara. Okay. Before we jump into that, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself, how you got onto your path and stuff like that?
Yes, basically, I was just your regular, very concrete, analytical thinker. I was the kind of person that if there was a God, he'd better step in front of me and prove it. And so when the portals to the spirit world opened and things started flowing in, it was like a tsunami. And I thought I was going literally crazy. I literally thought I was losing my mind. And if it wasn't for the internet, I probably would have, you know, turn myself into some place to be locked up. I was freaked out. So I did a lot of research, and it cleared things up for me.
So were you actually actively studying before that, or did it just kind of happen?
No, I was very, I was not familiar at all with any kind of pagan paths or anything, aside from dabbling a little with tarot. And then when I was a kid, we played with a Ouija board. That was pretty much my experience with anything supernatural. I had absolutely nothing to grasp onto when this all started happening. It was a mind bender.
You're probably the first person I've ever talked to that's happened to all at once.
It was insane. It started and things started flowing in, and I was being given visions. I was hearing voices. I was being given messages and prophetic symbols and previous lives and all the things that you hear about if you're pagan but don't know anything about if you're not. So it was pretty crazy.
So just out of curiosity, did something set it off? Like, did something instigate it all, or did it just happen out of the blue?
Well, I think that I was at a point in my life, I was in a very, very bad marriage, and I think that I was just at the point where I had, I was just desperate and needed help from spirit, and so she arrived in the form of the goddess.
That's awesome. Not that what happened beforehand was awesome, but just that was awesome that she arrived to, you know, to help out and to set you on the right path, because not everyone, you know, a lot of people don't get it that way. They just slowly get into it and have to kind of look for everything, which is kind of leads into the whole manifest era. You talk about that there's different pillars to approach and watching for signs and such. So I'm going to let you take it over for a minute and tell us about the Manifest Anara, how you found it, and what exactly it is. Because I really haven't explained it. I just kind of have been saying, come listen, we're talking about the Manifest Anara.
Okay. Well, basically what it is it's a bridge. I really believe, based upon the things that have happened to me in the last 3 to 5 years, that goddess is not, you know, I believe that the divine feminine is rising. I mean, there are goddess temples spontaneously rising all over the planet. People are being called to be priests and priestesses of the goddess all over the planet. And this is just one of the avenues she is using to come into people's consciousness. And so what came about was I was just writing things down. I can't really call it a journal because it was just pathetic. I didn't really know what I was doing. But when I flipped back through the pages, it just hit me that there was a message there. I mean, I just started seeing patterns. And what came out of it, I originally had 7 pillars. And then so I had to go back through some of my experiences and say, you know, there can't be 7 pillars. That doesn't sound right, right? And so I did find the other one. And I actually got the symbol for the Manifesting Era a full year or so before I even knew what it was. It was drawn in my journal. And it happened that way. Spirit's not linear. It is not, you know, attached to time at all. And so it was just all these floating pieces. And when I went back to my journal, it just went click. And so what it is, this is what it is. I believe that Goddess is no longer satisfied with just people who get it. Sanera is a bridge between the analytical concrete thinker who has come into a space where they're a spiritual seeker, but they can't relate to any of the earth's religions. They can't relate to it. And so what actually happens here is by working with your intellect and trying on these experiments with these 8 pillars, you literally begin to experience spirit. And so because you experience spirit, it alters your perceptions of reality. And just like quantum physics, you know what quantum physics the basic premise is, basically that the act of observing something affects that which is observed. And so when you work with the pillars, you use it as a lens to overlay your life and to analyze your life, which is completely counter to pagan, you know, basic principles, because you're supposed to be in your right creative intuitive side. But it is a bridge. And so you lay it over your life and you begin to have these experiences and you get all of these ahas. And before you know it, the portals open and spirit starts talking to you. It's very interesting, very personal.
Okay. Can you touch a little bit, because I know you have like a little bit of everything that comes into this, including psychology. Can you touch a little bit on what each pillar is?
Okay, sure. And the way they work is the more you learn about one, the more it informs and activates the others. So they sort of grow together as you go along. So basically, you have these different concepts that you're going to overlay on your life and use to look at your life. So mirror consciousness is one of them. And mirror consciousness is the idea that anything that you experience in the world that's negative is something that's reflecting out of your subconscious. And the reason that works and functions and is true is because if you think of spirit as unformed infinite potential realities, spirit passes through our perceptions into the world and we create with that. Sort of like if you had water, which would be the stuff, and you put it in an ice cube tray, which is the form, which would be our mind, and then it comes out as ice cubes, which would be reality in the physical world. So that's the concept behind it, is that spirit is using us to create. It's flowing through us, creating reality. So when you use mirror consciousness, what that does is it allows you to see what's inside of you that's creating what you don't want. You know, the idea of, well, I was raped and I didn't have that in my subconscious. Well, no, you don't. You don't have that kind of thing in your subconscious. It's not a direct reflection. It's more like a reflection in a funhouse mirror. Like, say if I'm encountering someone who's extremely selfish, that doesn't mean I'm selfish. It might mean something like I'm selfish with my own self-love, and that's being reflected in this person that's come into my life. And there's so many other concepts that go into this. It's really difficult to cover it all in a short time because, after all, it took me 3 years to get it all. But you can also be, if you're shut down and you're not aware of your own creative power, you can actually be at the mercy of collective consciousness, other people's ability to create in your space. Does that make sense? So that's one of the pillars. You use mirror consciousness, and by becoming aware of what's in your subconscious, it helps you change reality. And then we have the three parts of the mind. And actually this comes, there's nothing in this that's new. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. What's new about this is how it's put together and how it's applied. So the three parts of the mind comes from the fairy tradition. And you have the part of you that talks and talks and talks and never shuts up. And people have come to think that that's who they are, that that's their identity. And it's really not. If you can watch your mind, the part watching is your true self. So you have the talking self and the authentic self, and then you have the higher self gives you gifts that come in from the spirit world. And so that's the three parts of the mind, and learning to use them and watch them and know which one's dominant. And, you know, get the talking self to be less dominant, get the intuitive, real, authentic self to grow stronger in, so you can recognize yourself more, and also open the portal so that you can speak to spirit. So those are the three parts of the mind. And then there's symbolic language. Oftentimes people will, I see all the time people on Facebook, they'll be asking, well, what does this dream mean, or what does this mean, what does that mean? And my experience is spirit speaking to you constantly, trying to communicate. And when you say, what does this dream mean? It's like holding up the letter A and saying, what does this A mean? You're not going to find any meaning in just the letter A or just the letter B. You have to keep a journal and write down everything that happens and use all the tools like shamanic journeying and meditation and paying attention to intuitive urges and symbols that show up in your life, and write that all down and watch for patterns, because that's going to create a language for you, and spirit is going to give you your dharma or your purpose for being born in this life now. And when that happens and you listen to that message, your bliss is attached to that. Your happiness comes with that. So that symbolic language is super important because it's what allows you to communicate directly with spirit. And then there's the three portals, and that concept came out of a book called Awakening to the Spirit World. And there are three concepts. It's a gratitude, blessing, and seeing. And even those are you know, we have these established definitions for these words, and that's not really what they are, and you can't really explain it like in a moment. But once you understand gratitude, blessing, and seeing, the portals to the spirit world open, so you can get direct messages, you know, in tandem with learning your symbolic language, learning how to hear spirit and speak to spirit. So that's works with mirror consciousness and the three parts of the mind. And I do have a graph. Do you have your graphics in front of you that I sent you?
I did. Hold on. I had to reboot my computer.
Anyway, in the symbol, or anybody that wants to go on the website, in the symbol you will see lines that connect the pillars, and it tells how they influence each other. Right. So, for example, mirror consciousness will reflect what comes through the three portals. And then if you understand the three parts of the mind, you can change the reflection that's in your mirror consciousness. You see how they're just all connected. They all affect each other. So another pillar is unseen energy. And unseen energy, you know, most pagans work with that. I call it your sixth sense, when you're able to perceive everything in the universe as energy, instead of giving it a separate definition, like thoughts or emotions or whatever. It's all energy. And when you begin to think of it that way and you begin to layer that lens over your life, you will begin to get sensitive to it, and you begin to see it and you begin to feel it. And one of the ways you can do that, the best way to start, is to ground yourself daily and get all of the energy out of you that's not yours, and that will begin the process of becoming sensitive to seeing energy, and you can see it, and you can capture it, and you can transform it and put it back out there to do what you want it to do, which is the essence of magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the pain body, that concept I got from Eckhart Tolle. Is it Tolle or Tolle? I'm not really sure. I've never heard his name spoken out loud, but he wrote The New Earth. And he talks about how you carry around energy memories, basically, in and on your body. And that's the part that warps the miracle impulses of spirit. Spirit wants to send in love and beauty and truth and abundance. And then what is in our subconscious, the pain that we carry from our childhood or maybe a recent divorce, whatever the suffering is, that will warp those because we're reflecting it out into the world from our subconscious. And that would explain why, you know, they talk about positive affirmations. A lot of people can spend years doing positive affirmations and their life never gets better. And it's because they've got shadows in their subconscious. And the shadows are stronger than the positive affirmations. So the pain body can block the ability to see unseen energies. And it can block the opening of the portals. It can block your ability to use your mirror consciousness. It can, if you train the three parts of the mind, you can heal the pain body. So it all works as a unit. And then you have the two most interesting ones. The internal predator, I think, is the most useful for our modern world. And I think that there's a lot of separation between different factions of people. You know, like Christians and pagans have trouble understanding each other. And the internal predator, if we think of this as we're able to take the loaded language out of it. You know, when we say witch to a Christian, that's frightening because that's 2,000 years of propaganda. It frightens people. People really believe that's a bad thing, right? And it's just an earth-loving person who works with energy most of the time, you know. So the internal predator, this is an interesting concept. It's, if you think about the planet as being three-dimensional, spirit comes, we come from the spirit world as an innocent human soul, and the woman's body is the portal that brings that innocent human soul into the three-dimensional world. With the three-dimensional world, you can't have a top without a bottom, and you can't have a left without a right. And if you've ever looked in a baby's eyes, you know they're pure innocence and beauty and love. Well, they can't stay manifest on a physical plane without their opposite being attached to them. And that's the internal predator. It is the darkness. So the darkness, this is what the Christians would call Satan. But the thing with the internal predator is it's not evil. It's just the opposite. And it's hungry, just like when you have a snake and it's hungry. It's eating the mouse, and that's, you know, evil to the mouse, but it's just food to the snake. So the internal predator is here. It's a part of us. We talk about embracing our darkness, and people have trouble understanding that because they don't really know what the darkness is. And all it is an entity, part of us. And the thing with internal predator is once you can see it, you know, you can see everything in the universe, in your universe, in your reality is energy. Once you can see its movements, you can see what it's doing, you can then hijack its energy. You can transform the energy, and you can use it to create what you want. And I'm sure that there are pathways in the pagan lifestyles that where they do that, they just call it something different. So that's the internal predator. And just to give you an example, when we used to live close to the earth, we would have to kill our own chickens for food. That's the internal predator's job. We might have to fight our enemies to keep them. If we were in primitive times, you know, maybe our enemies would be raiding our village and raping our women and stealing our children or whatever. And the internal predator would be the violent part of us that protected them, that was able to kill. Well, in our modern world, we don't have a lot of jobs for our internal predator. And this is why we see these things in our collective consciousness manifesting out in the world as school shootings and we see a lot of violence on television. That's our collective consciousness coming out of the world because we don't know what the internal predator is. We're not embracing him. We're not feeding him. If we feed the internal predator, then it doesn't devour our souls. And people find this funny, but it works for me. I use Quentin Tarantino movies when I can see my internal predator wanting to be active. I had a pretty dysfunctional childhood, so I had a lot of crap to overcome. And so my internal predator is probably much larger than it needs to be. If you're a child and your soul is nurtured, your soul will grow. But if you're traumatized and constantly suffering and in pain and terrified, your internal predator is going to get fed and it's going to grow. So people with difficult childhoods, challenging, and lots of dark shadows left in there, it's a very excellent tool to be able to learn how to feed that internal predator, how to hijack his energy, how to transform it, and how to use it. It's very empowering. And then the last one is sacred space. And sacred space is where you end up when you understand all the pillars, can kind of layer them over your life and use them to heal your life, to get direct communion with spirit, get direct revelation for your mission here on earth. And it's basically what a priestess or priest does, where you stand in sacred space with one foot in the spirit world and one foot in the physical world, and you hold the portals open so that communication is always open. And there's a lot to sacred space, but that's the basic premise of it. So sacred space can, it just heals everything once you learn to do that. And so all of these pillars have an effect on each other. And so it's a good idea to look at the graphic and see how that works. So those are the eight pillars.
So, and how I was introduced to this was because we're both a member of the Cauldron Mixing Place for Witches on Facebook. And I had actually posted on there that I was trying to find something to help with emotional blockage. And you posted your link to the Four Rivers Eden Temple website and just talked about the manifesting era. So if you're looking at emotional blockage, is that equal to the pain body?
I would say that the emotional blockage, first you'd have to define that. And so for that, it means that you're not feeling your true emotions, or you're not able to express what you're feeling. How would you define emotional block?
For me, it's keeping me from doing what I want, but what I believe it is emotions and past events that I have not been able to let go of.
So, yes, that would be the pain body. And so this is the dynamic, okay? You have this residue, energy residue left on you, okay? And the internal predator likes to stir that up so it can feed. It's like you think of the pain body as the garden that the internal predator is tending. And its tool is the talking self, because the talking self is another tool that was given to us by spirit. It's supposed to help us navigate the physical world, but it's kind of taken over like it's a computer program run amok. And so the internal predator will play those tapes over and over again for us to keep us in that suffering space, because that's how it feeds. So an emotional blockage is definitely just that energy left in you. It's the fear left in you. It's your inability to speak your authentic truth based upon the bad things that have happened to you. And I want to explain really that it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can cause trauma to a child because a child doesn't understand. So you can have something, you can look at your childhood and say, well, I don't understand why this should mess me up. It wasn't that big of a deal. So but it is a really big deal to a child who doesn't understand. Yeah, emotional blockage, that's your pain body. And the way you find, there's different approaches. You use the different pillars to find your hidden shadows, your subconscious shadows, and reveal them so that you can disempower them. And it's a fascinating journey for anybody who's got the courage to do it, because it will take you into the darkness. You're proactively going, okay, I'm going to go to hell now so that I can heal. And so it's not for the timid. You have to be really ready for it. So your emotional blockage can eventually be cleared by using all the pillars in your life and just analyzing your life and experimenting, saying, okay, I'm going to try this behavior on, or I'm going to try this perception on. I'm going to see if it's true. I'm going to start paying attention. Is this true? And then when you experience it, it becomes true for you, your perceptions shift and you become more powerful in your own creating. So there isn't like any one way to, there's like 8 ways and they all overlap each other. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I guess that kind of leads into my next question. So when you start working with the manifestor, do you kind of go from one pillar, like you don't just concentrate on one pillar and then go the next and then go the next. You kind of look at them all as a whole and like tackle each one a little bit at a time.
Yes, it has to be holistic. The way that I describe it visually, if you picture 8 columns of, like column like those the scientists use them in the labs, the clear round, I don't know if they have some scientific names for them, but the beakers that they use in a science lab, okay? And so every time you experiment with a concept in one pillar and you're layering that kind of over your life and you go, aha, I get it, I see that. Well, that puts a little stuff in that pillar, right? And because you put a little bit of stuff in that pillar, it informs the others. You're then able to see the others more clearly. And so you're just going to jump without any kind of pattern at all from pillar to pillar, and you're going to be opening yourself up to spirit, and you're going to be becoming empowered the more you do it. And there's no direct path. It's holistic.
Okay, so is there any particular, like, generic exercises that you could possibly start with or focus on each pillar?
Yes, I'm going to be putting those on the website. Like I had messaged you before, the book, writing the book and developing the tarot cards has been a big priority, and I do still work full-time. I'm hoping to retire soon, but I do still work full-time. It doesn't leave a lot of time, but I am getting more and more feedback about the website, so I do need to get busy and put some things up there. But essentially, it's not so much the activities, because you can take any activity and any ritual and any ceremony and the things that pagans already do, or even that anybody in a spiritual path already does. It's the perception of the lens that you lay over your life that makes it powerful, because you're able to experiment. So I would say, for example, for unseen energies, the best way to start and to activate that pillar is to go out and ground yourself every day. And by doing so, what will happen is your soul space will begin to recognize which energy belongs to you and which doesn't. The more you can keep your body pure and cleaned out like that, the more your chakras will open. If you call in your deity, if you channel and ask your deity, like what I do when I ground is, and once I get all the energy out of me, I ask Goddess to enter each of my chakras. Like, Goddess, let me see with your eyes. Let me see love and beauty. You know, let me speak my truth with your voice. So you can call your deity in. And the more you do that, the less other people's energy can get onto you. I see that shielding question all the time on the Facebook groups. I'm an empath. How do I shield? Well, the more you ground and the more you work with the pillars, the less you'll need to shield. Like, I used to have such high anxiety my whole life, social anxiety. I couldn't even be around people. I couldn't even barely function. I couldn't even look people in the eye until I was 35 years old because I had a dysfunctional childhood. Okay, so the social anxiety, the insomnia, the depression, lifelong, but not when but not when I went through this process. It's gone. All of that's gone. So what will happen is if you ground every day, your chakras will begin to clear out. You will begin to sense other types of energy. For example, one time I stepped out on the porch to go ground, and I just felt this huge whoosh of energy just leave my body and go into the ground. I stepped out on the porch, it went whoosh, and I went, oh, I'm grounded, and I walked right back in. So, you know, you can get to where you can feel the energy. Another thing that's a really good story that happened was when my boyfriend broke up with me, it just tore me up because it felt like abandonment, and that was one of my childhood issues. And I allowed myself to watch my pain body. You don't want to do the fight or flight thing. You don't want to bury yourself in distractions. Like some people drink, some people do drugs or fighting, lots of lashing out and anger. You don't want to do that. You want to lay in a dark place and watch the pain and just watch it without any attachment to any kind of label or assessment of it. You just watch it. Well, the watcher is you. And if you do that long enough, your shadow that's hurting you right now, what's causing suffering, that will become revealed. And it will slowly change into joy. It never goes away, but it's revealed, so you can see it when it tries to take a hold of you and manifest for you. So I'm standing in, I'm after my boyfriend broke up with me, I allowed myself to embrace that darkness, and I didn't do the fight or flight thing at all. I just, every time I hurt, I would just go into my room and lay on my bed and watch my pain body. Well, about a month later, it did take about a month, I'm standing in my kitchen, and I suddenly feel my energy body, the whole thing. And this great big thing, like the shape of a big banana or a slug, just peeled out of my body and fell on the floor, this energy thing. And I was standing there, and I could feel like a quarter to a third of my energy body was missing. I just had this big, huge open wedge in me. And what it was that pain, that energy that I've been carrying since childhood, just peeled right out of me and fell on the floor and dissipated. And it took like maybe, this is a learning experience for me too. I'm always learning more. It's not like I like just know this stuff. And I'm learning from experience. And that's what's cool about it, is that you just apply it and you learn stuff and you become more powerful and more free. And so I probably should have done some sort of ritual or activity to close up that opening in my energy body, but I didn't know any better. And just, it took about a week for it to close up. But what's really interesting is, even though the shadow is kind of still there, it has just zero power over me anymore, creating from that space anymore. I see the world differently, completely differently. So that's what working with energy can do for you. It doesn't even have to be. This is what's so powerful about the manifesting arrow. On that one chart, it says that it can take away the need for time passing, like thousands of years of learning. And it's because it's the knowing. You experiment. You say, okay, that's a concept I've never tried. You go out, you experiment, and you go, holy cow, that works. Suddenly you know. That's where the power is. It's in the knowing, because when your perceptions change, then you manifest reality differently.
Okay.
So you just use the pillars and they just work over time.
Right. It is time for us to take a break. So I'm going to play a short song, and then I believe one of your students is going to come on and tell us a little bit about.
I want to correct that. She's not really a student. She's a partner. And what happened was, we began working on the tarot cards to go with this. And because she's a tarot expert, she's very good, by the way, she's a tarot reader, and she has a direct line to spirit. She's very good. And she had these, dysfunctions from her childhood, too. And what helped that develop in her and her experience with the manifesting arrow was because we had to get on the same terms, the same definition of what each of these functions did, what each of the words meant, and all the words associated with each of the pillars. And so in defining that, her perception shifted as she went in through her life and applied the manifesting arrow to her life. So it was very much a part of our partnership that developed for her, as opposed to a student.
Okay.
And I just want to clarify that, because she's like an expert in her own right.
with the tarot.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
didn't mean to.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a natural assumption. Yeah, it's a natural assumption.
Yeah. But. Okay, well, okay. I'm going to play a song, and then we will come back, and everyone will get to meet her.
Okay.
So I'm going to play a song by Kiva, and it's called Empowerment. Trying to bring the our other guest on, and I am sorry, I've forgotten her name.
Gina.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Hi, Gina. Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. Can you, before we get into it, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I have known Priestess Kate for about 20 years now, and I am a professional tarot reader, and I have a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, but I have found that working with tarot and working more with the energy realm is a lot more rewarding in terms of my professional life in that way than doing traditional counseling.
Okay. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience with the Manifest Sonera?
So when Vicki and I first started working on the tarot cards, I knew nothing about, I knew what energy was. I ground myself every day. Clearly, when I read for others, I can, you know, see energy at work, and having experienced my own energy in situations. But what kind of came about this is
because I knew tarot, we knew that we wanted to create some sort of, you know, oracle deck or whatever it was, so that people could learn the language of the manifestanera. And so as we worked with this, we would be talking about all of these certain, like, different situations that had happened in our lives, or people that we were seeing, or people that we were experiencing, and watching how the internal predator and the pain body had caused so much needless suffering. And for me, that was kind of like what clicked. I started thinking about, you know, certain relationships that I had had in the past, even a relationship that I was currently in. And it really helped me to start, because I had, you know, when you talk about energy, it just sounds like woo-woo magic, right? But then I really felt like I had a way to actually verbalize what was happening. And it made me very aware of when I was creating suffering in my life. I mean, clearly, but in a way in which I was able to observe it and stop it. So, like, for instance, if I had an ex-boyfriend and he liked to start fights with me because of his own shadow, right? And in the manifestanera, we call it shadow dancing. And then because I started to understand that concept more, instead of allowing myself to get pulled into that negative, into that fight, I was able to step back and ground myself and really change the situation, because I could change my reaction in the moment. Where before, if you're asleep, in a sense, you just kind of react, and then you're doing the shadow dance with somebody. And we do it all the time. Our bosses trigger us, you know, our coworkers, our neighbor, and it happens every day. And once you start working within the pillars, and as I started learning about the pillars, I could recognize, you know, when good things were happening, but the most important piece is when bad things were going to start happening. And I call it when people are starting to work your black magic. We all have white magic and we all have black magic. And when we are starting drama, or someone's trying to start drama with you, that's just black energy trying to cause suffering. And you have all the power to change how you're going to react to it, and what your perception is of what's happening. And have more peace, essentially.
Okay. So I have a question about working with it, manifestanera. So like you say in your YouTube video, this isn't for sissies. This is what, so I guess the question is I'm sure this is running through other people's heads too, is what is one of the darkest things, I guess without getting too personal, that you've had to deal with while going through the manifestanera? I guess this would be a question for both of you, if you don't mind.
You know, this is very interesting. It's really hard to describe, because to me it's a lot like childbirth. Like, when you're having those labor pains, you're in hell. But as soon as you hold that little baby in your arms, you kind of forget. Like, I can't remember what it felt like. And it's the same thing for the darkness that I was in. I mean, I was suicidal. I was terribly depressed and felt very powerless, almost like I was drowning. And it was very unlike me, so I was terrified, because I'm usually a very dynamic, very capable creator. And so to describe that, but what was happening to me was I was married to a very dark individual that hid himself until we were married, and then I found out what he was like. and I could not escape. It was very much like, I don't want to put a label on anything, so I'm not going to use any psychology labels or anything, but it was very much like I was the fly and he was the spider, and I was all wrapped up with his silk strands, and every time I would struggle, he'd be like, you know, it's okay, honey, let me wrap this warm blanket around you, I'll take care of you, you know. But the difference between the fly and the human who does that is the fly will kill the mummified fly and use it up, whereas the darkness, when it has taken over a human body, it wants to keep you alive because it feeds on you. So I literally felt as though my soul was being eaten by a demon. There isn't really much way that words can describe something that deeply spiritual and horrifying. So that would probably be, you know, the best way I could explain that.
I think for me, I experienced it differently, because as we were creating the cards, we would take a concept like programming and we would think about an actual person that we knew or a situation that we had been in where a person was
kind of creating that vignette for us.
Yes. So we would create these vignettes. If a person is just running they have a script that they have played over and over in their head about a certain scenario because it is what they learned from childhood or whatever, those people aren't going to budge from that perception until they actually realize what they're doing. And so for me, as we were going through each one of these concepts, I was learning the Manifestanera, and then I was thinking about, wow, I remember a time when, or I know a person who, and so I got to be like a lot more objective about my experience and how I was learning it. But so it wasn't as profound as Vicky's. I had already gone into the situation being very clear about what grounding is and what my own energy is. And so this was just a really good exercise for me to see how these portals were playing out in the real world, whether it was me doing it to myself, where I'd be like, oh, yeah, I totally shadow danced with that person and I let that person suck me right in to the drama, right? Because we've all done it. Nobody's perfect. And or where I, you know, I've caused drama. And it just made me more aware of some of the behaviors that I had before I had, you know, really started to awaken and to really get to know myself and realize the power that I had. Because it's so much easier for a person to just be like, oh, well, you know, I was sexually abused as a child, and like life is never going to get better. And if that's the story you want to tell yourself, then that's your story. And you can live in that suffering forever. Or you can decide to change your narrative in your head and change that energy so that you can start seeing life from a more joyous, empowering place.
And that's why the Manifestanera is great, because it takes the personal drama out of it, and it allows you to be objective while you apply principles. And then you can experiment, and then you can see that it empowers you, and then healing comes from that. You take over the internal predator. You know, if you're sexually molested as a child, the internal predator has one great big garden that it's growing in. And so to be able to disempower that predator and feed it something else allows you to heal your pain body, so you can quit manifesting from that space.
Right. Yeah, objectivity, completely. It allowed me to really pay more attention to when people were triggering me and something was reacting inside of me, and I'd be like, oh, wait, because it's, that person's not causing that, really. It's our choice in how we choose to react. And once you start paying attention, you can really change things. Like if you're in a, you know, my relationships haven't been that great. And I realized because I was coming from a place of living in my pain body and this victim mentality, that I kept manifesting the same type of relationship over and over and over again. And I was, as I started working on these cards with Vicky and playing with these concepts, I started seeing pieces of my current relationship, which I'm actually now out of, where I was like, wow, if I don't get out of this, I'm really going to continue my suffering, and it doesn't need to happen anymore. It's like, I'm in my 40s now. When am I going to learn my lesson? So it really was like it just made things very, very clear about how much my victim mentality narrative in my head all the time was creating and manifesting the same stories over and over, so that I could continue my victim mentality manifestations, as opposed to coming from a place of power, if that makes sense.
And it really helps to know that the darkness in you is something that can be seen, something that can be tamed. You can take its energy and you can feed it what you want to have, and you can use that energy for what you want. It clarifies the choice, you know, because people are like, well, I can't just fix that. That happened to me. I can't just fix that. And now you can. And it's rather rapid if you're brave.
Okay.
You can because you change your perception. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. What I was just going to say was that we're starting to run short on time. So I just wanted to, when someone's jumping into this, do you have any, because that's kind of what it sounds like it is, like you just kind of have to jump into it. Do you have any advice for them starting out?
The main thing is to think of the manifest genera as a lens. When you look through a lens, it alters what you see, correct? So you take that and you use it as a lens and you layer it over your life. And the thing that would be really helpful is if you went to the website, which is edentemple.com, and find the manifest genera on there and ask questions in the comments. Because what I'm going to be doing is reading those comments, and I'm going to be answering generically with blog posts and pages, so that when you go back later, I mean, because people a lot of times have the same questions, and when you go back later, your answer will be there, and it will tell you what to do with the pillars in order to fix that. So it's going to be interactive, and we're also going to be having Priestess of the Goddess training retreats based upon the Manifest Genera as a foundational teaching, but it will also cover all the traditional pagan type of things like rituals and ceremonies and different types of approaches to the pagan lifestyle. And we're also going to be doing some WebExes where people can get on and we can talk and dialogue as a group. So it'd be, you know, good to go there and sign up for the newsletter so you can, you know, be advised when things are going on. Because there's going to start, we're getting closer and closer, we're getting really close to having the tarot cards done. And we're going to be publishing the book and the tarot cards, and we're going to be going sort of traveling a lot, doing seminars and conferences, things like that. And so it's going to get very busy pretty soon, and there's going to be a lot of activity going on. So it'd be a really good idea to sign up for the newsletter. So when everything happens, you're ready to go.
Can I interject just about what people can do as far as an exercise?
Sure.
I think for me, just living in a, just when you're going about your day, where I started to try to pay attention, and I may have already mentioned this, is just when you start feeling like really negative emotions setting in, where you're feeling
anger.
That's
the internal predator. Yeah.
Right. And I think that is important, is when that starts to happen, is catching yourself and going, what's really going on here? What's the basis of the situation? Is my anger necessary? And how, because I don't want to actually be angry, because nobody likes to be angry, it causes suffering, to like make a conscious decision or observation about the situation right there in the moment, about how you're going to choose to react. And
well,
that
basically,
for me,
basically understanding that the internal predator is stirring up the garden, running the tapes mm-hmm. in the talking self part of your brain so that it can feed, and you can step back and say, oh, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
I see you. And that's what empowers you.
So so I know you mentioned the comments and your website. Is there any other way that people might be able to reach out to you if they have any questions, or are you going to be at any events coming up?
On Facebook, there is the Eden, Four Rivers of Eden, Goddess Temple is on Facebook. We don't have anything booked right now. We wanted to do PantheaCon this year, but we just aren't ready. But we will be at PantheaCon next year.
Okay. And Gina, do you want to plug your tarot readings or anything?
Oh, sure. My website is empowermenttarotreadings.com. And you can, buy a reading right there if you see one that you like, or you can just contact me via email and we can discuss. I do them over video, but I also do them face-to-face. I'm in Portland, Oregon, so. But yeah, empowermenttarotreadings.com.
Sorry.
All right. Well, I appreciate both of you all coming on. And
thank you.
I really appreciate it. Yes. So I'm going to put you all back in the queue. If you want to listen, you can. But I'm just going to be going through different events coming up around the United States that people might want to attend. And then I will be ending the show after that.
Okay. Well,
thank you
for having us.
All right. Thank you for coming on.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I didn't help that mute myself. Sorry, everyone. So events coming up. Let's see what Facebook has in store for me, because that's how I keep track of them. I've always told everybody that. So I have what's coming up is Earth Magic Grand Opening and Blessing at Earth Magic in Asheville, North Carolina, and Lexington Avenue. It is going to be Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. And then I have the Toxin Free Home and Intro to Essential Oils. That is going to be at, never mind, that was a private invite I got. Sorry about that, everyone. Let's see, Reiki Levels 1 and 2 certification class at the Intuitive Connection in Louisville, Kentucky on Frankfort Avenue, Suite A. There is a charge for the class, and it is $135. Sliding scale is available, so you will need to contact them. It is intuitivesusan.com, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E. Let's see. Oh, and that is might help. Saturday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And then I have Learning Basic Tarot with David at Moonstruck here in, Jeffersontown or Louisville, Kentucky, depending on where you're at. It's at 3207 College Drive at Moonstruck. Sovereign Seer and Sorcerer, the Green Man Store in North Hollywood, California. It looks like Christopher Penzack. Yes, Christopher Penzack is going to be there. It's going to be evening with him. And it's Wednesday, February 21st at 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. They're also doing a Reiki 1 and 2 certification class February 22nd at the Intuitive Connection on Frankfort Avenue in Louisville, Kentucky. That is 1 to 5 p.m. And then, let's see. I don't know much about this event, but it did show up February 23rd, the official event for the 3rd Annual Michigan Nordic Fire Festival, 3rd through the 25th in Charlotte, Michigan. Tickets are available at MichiganNordicFireFestival.com. Shamanic Breathwork, February 24th at Inner Awakenings in Blairsville, Georgia. That's 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tarot readings by Lady Vanessa, who comes on the show a lot. She's going to be at the Silver Wolf Treasure and Gift in Independence, Kentucky, Saturday, February 24th, 12 to 5 p.m. Crystal Reiki at, what is this, Sacred Journeys on Bluegrass Parkway in Louisville, Kentucky, 25th, 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Moonstruck is going to be having a painting class, Painting with Friends. They're in Jeffersontown, Kentucky, and that's the 25th from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Christopher Penzack has another event coming up at the Robin's Nest, a metaphysical community in all ways for all ways, in Bellingham, Massachusetts, Tuesday, February 27th, 17 to 9:30 p.m., digging deep into the poison garden. This is going to be the last one I say for the finish this off the weekend, March 3rd. Connect with Spirit, 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at Sacred Journeys here on Bluegrass Parkway in Louisville, Kentucky. And that is as far out as I'm going to go for now. So everyone have a blessed evening, and we will talk to you next week. Oh, and I haven't picked out a song yet either. So, and just to let everybody know that This Weird What Road should be returning next week. We weren't able to get a show loaded in time. So I'm going to play This Weird Road, I'm going to play Windy Rule is what I'm going to play. And let's play Deity. So everyone have a blessed evening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Ripening, reflecting. are listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.